For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst. In Spanish, we have a saying that goes, cuando el gato no está, los ratones juegan. And in English, that I guess translates into, when the cat is away, the mice come out and play. Now, the reason I'm telling you guys that is that Felix the cat, Contreras, is out of town today, so I've invited Ernesto Lechner, who co-hosts the show The Latin Alternative. He's also a writer for the LA Times, and he's a dear, dear friend of the show's. He's going to be joining us today to talk about music. Ernesto, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jasmine. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to putting on my mouse costume and playing a lot of great music today.
So both Ernesto and I focus a lot of our attention on Latin rock, indie, hip-hop. This week we want to shine a spotlight on other genres that we love, like bossa nova, salsa, calypso, reggaeton. And we're going to talk about how those styles have influenced Latin rock and alternative. So Ernesto, what do you want to start us off with?
Well, I wanted to start with one of my favorite genres outside of the Latin alternative, and that's salsa, or as I prefer to call it, Afro-Caribbean music. This is just an amazing genre that is, I think, criminally underrated and misunderstood. We're going to start with a song that means so much in so many different levels. It's from 1971, from the heyday of the salsa explosion in New York. This is Cheo Feliciano from Puerto Rico performing Anacaona, one of the most explosive and soulful salsa songs ever recorded.
I love it. Let's listen to Anacaona by Cheo Feliciano.
Anacaona, india de raza cautiva. Anacaona, india de raza cautiva, Anacaona, de la región primitiva. Anacaona, oí tu voz, no lloró cuanto quimió. Anacaona, oí la voz de tu angustiado corazón. Tu libertad nunca llegó, ¡ese coro!
Anacaona, india de raza
cautiva. Anacaona india, pero india de raza cautiva, Anacaona de la región primitiva. ¡Haza! Bueno, ustedes saben el otro coro, el del areito de Anacaona, familia, que dice así.
Anacaona, areito de Anacaona.
Y esa india que es de raza noble y abatida, alma de blanca paloma.
Anacaona, areito de Anacaona.
Si aquí en Varadero y entre las flores cantaremos, hermano, a la india Anacaona.
Anacaona, arenco de Anacaona.
Esa india que muere, llorando, llorando pero no perdona. Y se soltaron los caballos otra vez.
People think that salsa is this frivolous music for hat dancing, you know?
Right.
With these tropical rhythms. Anacaona, for instance, is about a Puerto Rican princess who was raped and murdered by the Spanish conquistadores. And there is so much rage in Cheo Feliciano, in his voice, when he's singing this song. But Cheo Feliciano is also singing about himself, because at the time he recorded Anacaona, this was his first huge comeback album after he had he suffered from a heroin addiction that crippled him, and he took a break from music for many, many years. So in a way, Cheo, he's performing, he's giving us a song that's, yes, of course, it's danceable, it's wonderful to dance to, it has this amazing beat and the syncopation to it. But Cheo is singing about rage. Rage for the Puerto Rican princess who was slaughtered, and rage about himself who managed to overcome his drug addiction. And you know what? Much of salsa works like this in so many different levels. There's so much subtext. And for music that is considered happy by much of the mainstream, this is actually music that is seeped in heartache, nostalgia, and regret. And that's what I love about salsa, one of the many things I love about Afro-Caribbean music.
I think that if you don't know Spanish, it's tricky because you miss half of the gist of the song. You know, when Joe Arroyo sang Rebelión, and he's talking about a black slave in early Colombia, and the chorus line for the salsa song Rebelión is, "Don't hit my black woman." Or Fruco y sus tesos, when they're doing, I don't remember the name of the song right now, but
About El Preso.
El Preso, you know, and it's a guy who's received a life sentence, and that's, he's singing, the chorus line is saying, "My life now is these four walls." But it's very happy and sensual music, and I think that's a point I've made in the past in this show, that I feel like Latin music, a lot of times, there's almost like this paradox between like this very happy and fun and sensual rhythm and melody and the story that's being told. Whereas, you know, at least in American pop, if it's a happy song, it's a happy tune.
Absolutely. I think it's loaded in contradiction and paradox, and that's why we love Latin music so much.
I'm glad you brought salsa, because I also love salsa. I can't dance it to save my life, but I love listening to salsa. This is Oscar de León, one of my favorite salsa singers from Venezuela, and he's singing Llorarás. Can we just talk about the lyrics to this song? It's exactly what we were just saying. This is the ultimate revenge song.
And the sense of humor, right?
Well, I don't know about sense. I mean, what he's saying is, he's saying...
Yes, absolutely, but he's saying it with such wicked glee to him.
Absolutely, and so for listeners who don't speak Spanish, what Oscar de León is saying is, you will cry and, you know, you will understand what it is like to be cheated on. And he's basically telling this woman how much she's going to suffer, just like he has suffered for her. It's a total revenge, poor me song. And musically, it's brilliant. I just love this song.
Llorará, llorará, llorará. Como lo sufrí yo. Llorará.
You know, a couple of things that I wanted to tell you about Llorarás, which is also one of my favorite salsa songs. I mean, it's really a classic, is that, first of all, you know, it was recorded in 1975 when Oscar was still with a Venezuelan band, a great band called La Dimensión Latina. And this was a throwaway song. This was like a little idea, a sketch of an idea that Oscar had. Oscar wrote the song himself. He brought it to the other guys in La Dimensión Latina, and they said, absolutely, we love this, let's record it. And then it became the biggest hit. Oscar de León has at least 50 major hit singles, and this was the biggest hit that he ever experienced in his career early on. And then the other thing I wanted to tell you is that in recent years, Oscar de León does this thing in concert that he comes on stage and he starts the show with his biggest hit single, Llorarás, instead of, you know, saving it until the end. And he started doing this in the past 10 years, and it's just explosive when he comes on stage and people go wild when the strains of those, you know, trombone riffs start of Llorarás.
So let's move on to something a little bit more relaxed than salsa. Ernesto, you are a big bossa nova fan.
When I was growing up in the suburbs of Buenos Aires, my parents were very much into music, but unfortunately only classical music. So my household was a little boring at times. And they had one solitary bossa nova LP. It was a great record with Vinicius de Moraes and Maria Creuza and the guitarist Toquinho, recorded at La Fusa in Argentina. It was a great bossa nova record that was taped in concert. And of course, I really was very invested in that album because it was the only record that my parents played that wasn't classical. So I think my taste for bossa nova developed from that traumatic childhood experience. But other than that, it's a genre that, again, is very deceiving, because many people may think that it is, again, that it is a superficial genre, that it is for walking on Ipanema Beach and that's it. And the lyrics are very profound. They talk about the essence of life.
Very melancholy. And
also the music, yeah, very melancholy, and influenced musically by the French impressionists like Debussy and Ravel. I mean, there's, you know, Antonio Carlos Jobim, the main songwriter of Bossa Nova, was just a musical genius. So elevator music, this is not. Now, Jasmine, I take it that you love bossa nova as
well,
right?
I love bossa nova, and I really like what later, like the tropicalistas, like Caetano Veloso, Chico Buarque, what those guys did with bossa nova, because again, they took that very melancholy, very real social observation, and you know, Chico Buarque is one of the most profound lyricists in Latin music, and he's deeply influenced and embracing of bossa nova.
Definitely. You know, and I wanted to tell you that the song that I brought today to share with you is by somebody that, by a singer that some people may not know about. Her name was Silvia Teles, and I brought a song that has been recorded a million times, Samba de uma Nota Só. It's a very famous Antonio Carlos Jobim. It has been recorded by jazz singers. It has been done, you know, lounge versions has been recorded of it. But this is, for me, the best version by Silvia Teles.
Let's listen to that.
Que este sambinha feito numa nota só, outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quanta gente existe por aí que fala, fala e não diz nada, ou quase nada. Já me utilizei de todas, cali, no final não sobrou nada. Não deu em nada e voltei pra minha nota. Como eu volto pra você, vou dizer com a minha nota como eu gosto de você. E quem quer todas as notas, ré, mi, fá, sol, lá, si, dó, fica sempre sem nenhuma, fique numa nota só.
She had a very tragic story, and I truly believe that Silvia Teles would have been the biggest bossa nova diva ever. Unfortunately, though, she died in 1966. She was only 32. She was a very volatile person. She was driving a car. She was arguing with her boyfriend, as she always did. And she had a horrible car accident. And she crashed against a truck that was carrying pineapples. And she was basically squashed by all these pineapples. And she died. However, she left a recorded legacy behind her that is absolutely outstanding. And I recommend it to anybody who remotely is interested in Brazilian music. You should discover Silvia Teles.
You know what I love about Silvia Teles also is that her voice has that kind of raspy, bad girl quality to her. Whereas a lot of bossa nova has a much sweeter and smoother quality.
She was a gutsy woman, I think. And I think you get that spirit, that larger-than-life spirit, you get it through her singing.
I've spoken to a lot of Brazilian writers and artists who talk about the romanticized aspect of Brazil in the eyes of foreigners and the sadness of how difficult life can be in a country like Brazil or in any country in Latin America. One of my favorite Brazilian rappers, Emicida, he has a song that reminds me of what we're talking about. What he's saying is, I want to see what happens when Carnaval is over. And it's that same sadness of, you know, when Carnaval is over and everyone puts their costumes away and the tourists leave, I still have to live my life here.
You know, there's a devastating moment, and it's disguised in a way at the core of all songs, The Girl from Ipanema. In The Girl from Ipanema, it's Antônio Carlos Jobim, the musician, and Vinícius de Moraes, the lyricist and poet and ambassador. And they're talking about this girl who's walking on the beach of Ipanema, and she's so young and pretty. And then it all comes to a standstill, and the lyric says, "Why is life so sad?"
Ah, porque estou tão sozinho. Ah, porque tudo é tão triste. Ah, beleza que existe. Ah, beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha.
I think that is such an apocalyptic moment in Brazilian music. And people listening to this song in supermarkets and elevators worldwide, I think they don't realize what the lyrics are really talking about.
Let's move on to, you chose progressive rock next.
So I wanted to share with you an instrumental by Genesis from 1976 called Los Endos.
Thank you.
that's why when I think of progressive rock, I think of like an ex-boyfriend of mine who took too much LSD.
Well, I can publicly declare that I have never taken any drugs and I love progressive rock. And let me explain you why. Growing up in Buenos Aires, I had an older brother, 9 years older than me. His name is Amadeo, and he is a very handsome guy. And there was, when I was a little kid, there was this gallery, this battalion of beautiful Argentinian girls parading around my house, visiting, of course, my brother, Don Juan. And they would go to his room and they would play all these records, all these vinyl LPs of Genesis and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Van der Graaf, Generator and Yes and Gentle Giant, all the great British bands. I was a teenager in the 80s and I hated the plastic aspect of pop, the Human League and stuff. I just hated that stuff. So I found refuge in that great, epic, ambitious music from England that I think, you know, people think of it as very dorky and very outdated. I think it's it has some amazing moments of rare grace and beauty. They really try to mix all these different genres of music together. They said rock could be anything. Rock could be jazz. It could be folk. It could be classical. It could be baroque. It could be anything you want it to be. And I think many of today's better bands like Radiohead and Muse and Elbow, they're really progressive rock bands. That's what they are. And even in the world of Latin alternative, when you get to albums that are very ambitious, and I'm thinking of Café Tacuba's Revés Yo Soy or Fabulosos Cadillacs' Fabulosos Calavera, just the most ambitious albums of the genre, they're really progressive rock.
So I'm going to take you in a completely different direction. Since we're talking about genres that we really like, but that we don't get to talk about on our Latin rock shows, I brought a reggaeton song. This is Tego Calderón featuring Oscar de León.
Oye, huye pa allá. ¿Quién va? El negro. Tego Calderón. Ahí. Llorará y llorará.
Tego, qué mala son.
Pero no voy a ser yo quien te consuele, ¿sabes?
Sufrir más tu
vez. Te estoy curando tu propia medicina. No traje flores, te tengo espina. Catira, monina, bandida creída. Quédate con todo que el negro no huirá. Todo lo que hiciste lo estás pagando. Y no soy yo, la vida te lo está cobrando con creces. Coge lo que te merece, búscate un cura que te confiese.
Por tu mal comportamiento te vas a arrepentir. Bien caro tendrás que pagar.
So Ernesto, I want to talk to you about the first time I heard reggaeton. I moved to the U.S. in 2002, and I lived on the West Coast, and I was coming from Argentina after the financial and social collapse, and it kind of felt like I was coming from the apocalypse. That first year, it was, you know, I was working as a supermarket bagger and, you know, putting away grocery store carts, and I can only describe that first year of living in the U.S. as living in a parking lot, like empty and dry. And the other day I had this realization that it's always going to feel like it happened yesterday. It's always going to be that vivid of a memory. And the first time I heard reggaeton was Nori and Nina Sky and Daddy Yankee and Big Mado doing Oye Mi Canto in 2004.
If you're proud to be Latino right now, stand up, up, up. Credible cuts, credible cuts, let's go. SBK.
Dominicano, Colombia.
The first year of when you move anywhere and when you're an immigrant to anywhere is the hardest year. And something about hearing that song made me feel something good. And the other part of that equation is most Latin Americans I've talked to, before they moved to the US, they didn't really feel the concept of Latino, right? You're mm-hmm. Peruano, you're Ecuadoriano, you're Boliviano, Argentino. And so when I first moved here, the idea of being proud to be Latino, to me, that question was kind of like, well, I'm not proud of breathing air. I mean, I'm not proud of having a nose. Like, it's what I am. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else I can be. And this song was really this moment of saying, you know what? The more I was here, the more I understood that concept. And it was just a very overwhelming moment. And you maybe wouldn't think that from a song that is so danceable and maybe superficial in some ways.
Well, I think that you should really be congratulated for accepting publicly that you like reggaeton, because you know it is the trend to say that reggaeton is the end of the world and right. Good taste as we all knew it. And yet, you know, I completely agree with you. Reggaeton has some great stuff. I like Tego Calderon. I'm happy that you do as well. And Voltio and Calle 13, when they do reggaeton, it's pretty good as well. There is much to cherish in this genre.
Absolutely. And I think the problem with reggaeton is that, as happens with a lot of genres, there's a lot of garbage. You know, there's a lot of stuff that it all sounds the same and there's no talent involved in it. But there's some really good reggaeton, like you said. Play some cumbia next up. Let's listen to Los Ilusionistas doing Colegiala, or Schoolgirl. This song originally is from Colombia, and Los Ilusionistas is a Peruvian band, and here they are with Colegiala, Schoolgirl.
Y tu carita de coqueta, colegiala de mi amor. Tú sonríes sin pensar que al mirarte, solo por ti estoy sufriendo, colegiala de mi amor.
Ernesto, that was La Colegiala, Schoolgirl, by Los Ilusionistas, and what do you think of this?
I love cumbia, so I'm very excited that you picked cumbia as one of your favorite genres, and in fact, I need to thank you, because La Colegiala, and it was a huge hit in Europe in the 80s, incredibly enough. La Colegiala is one of my favorite cumbias, but I know the original version recorded for the Discos Fuentes label by Rodolfo y su Típica. I didn't know this version that has that Peruvian cumbia chicha flavor to it, and I really, really like it, so I'm definitely gonna add it to my favorites on my iPod from now on. Again, you're being very brave here, especially if you are from Argentina. You're not supposed to say you like cumbia, so how come you enjoy this genre so much? much.
That's an interesting point that you bring up. I grew up surrounded by cumbia. I grew up in a neighborhood with a lot of Peruvian immigrants in a time where there was a lot of Peruvian and Bolivian immigration to Argentina in the 90s. And I'm going to be really honest, I didn't like it. But I'm not sure I didn't like it or I was told I wasn't supposed to like it. I think at a certain age, when you're really little, it's hard to distinguish between what you feel and what people want you to feel. One of the reasons I love doing Alt Latino is because I feel that music is a point in which you can discuss race and class and politics. Everything goes through music. And there were a lot of social and racial reasons for which cumbia was really shunned, because cumbia in Argentina was considered the music of the working class. I always loved this kind of music. I remember when I started high school and somebody found out and started mercilessly teasing me. I mean, mercilessly.
Oh my God, yeah, I can't imagine.
I kind of retreated and I would listen to whatever was hip and cool, you know, rock and roll. But then I would definitely go home and listen to some cumbia. I was a closeted cumbia listener. And as I became also more class conscious, as I became more conscious of what neighborhood I came from, and as I became more conscious of workers' rights and immigrant rights in Argentina, I embraced cumbia a lot more.
Absolutely. And something that I find that is very liberating about being a Latino and migrating to the United States is that here we are free to embrace every possible aspect of Latino culture. I mean, it was by moving to LA that I discovered salsa and bachata and merengue and cumbia and all the genres of all the social classes of all Latin America. And my life is so much better and sweeter because of that. I wouldn't change that for anything.
I think that happens to a lot of people. I had a great conversation with a friend of mine from El Salvador the other day. And, you know, we were talking about the discrimination that a lot of Central Americans face in Mexico. And I asked him, I mean, do you feel resentful when you interact with Mexican Americans or with Mexicans here in the U.S.? And he said something that I thought was very poignant, which is, esas cosas se dejan en el camino. You leave mm-hmm. those things on the road to this mm-hmm. country. You know, I'd like to think that in a way, shows like The Latin Alternative or like Alt Latino are helping create that and helping leave that baggage on the road, you know?
I would like now to turn our attention to this other bit of a guilty pleasure of mine, and that's Calypso. You know, there's this band called Roxy Music that I'm sure you know. Whenever I listen to Roxy Music, I believe at that moment that Roxy Music is the best band ever in the planet. And that feeling only lasts while I'm listening to Roxy Music. It's the same with Calypso for me. Whenever I'm listening to Calypso, I think, this is my favorite music in the world. There's nothing I like more than this because it's exuberant and joyful and warm and so sweet. There is all this playing with words and the melodic lines, the way the performers navigate the vocal line is always amazes me. There is so much sweetness to Calypso. Now, I didn't bring an authentic Calypso by the likes of the Mighty Sparrow or Lord Kitchener. I did not. I actually brought a Calypso via Colombia by a group from the 70s called Uganda Kenya, which was actually formed by Fruko, the same Fruko, Fruko y sus tesos,
this favorite.
Incredible. Yeah, Fruko, he's amazing. Multi-instrumentalist, band leader, composer, arranger, you know, he's everything. He was the founder of many, many bands for the Discos Fuentes label. And one of the cult bands that he founded in the 70s was Uganda Kenya, that specialized only in Caribbean, non-Spanish Caribbean and African genres. And they recorded this priceless calypso called Homenaje a los Embajadores that I really wanted to share with you today.
Let's listen to that. This is Homenaje a los Embajadores, or Homage to the Ambassadors.
Las
So I'm dying to know, did you like it?
Me encantó. I really like it. Why is it called Homenaje a los Embajadores, Homage to the Ambassadors?
I'm guessing here, okay, that it's a tribute to another band called Los Embajadores.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Uganda, Kenya, it was interesting that, you know, because Fruko had a band, like Fruko y Sus Tesos was salsa, and then Los Latin Brothers was salsa with the trombones, brass section only, and then La Sonora Dinamita was cumbia. And then Uganda, Kenya was like the psychedelic Afro calypso stuff. So I definitely, you know, listeners who are interested should explore the discography of Uganda, Kenya from the 70s.
Ernesto, you brought something else that surprised me a little. I didn't know you were that into ballads.
I think anybody who spent part of his life in Latin America, we have this connection with that retro, sophisticated, yeah, jazz-infused balladry of the 60s and 70s. I'm talking about Nino Bravo and José José.
Mm.
And so I brought a track that I absolutely love called Agua con Sal. Do you like José José?
I do, and I have a really fun story to tell you about baladas. But let's listen to Agua con Sal, or Water with Salt.
Cuando una gota de lluvia por tu carita rodó, yo dije llora, llora, llora por mí, llora por mí. Y me sentí tan alegre porque llorabas por mí, que dije me ama, me ama, y no era así. Era agua nada más que una nube lloró. Luego tu cara y la mía, pues yo te dije, estoy seguro que tú ya no me quieres nada. Mejor adiós. Y en tus mejillas vi dos gotas que bebí. Eran gotas del alma con sal. Nunca un sabor más precioso a mi boca llegó. Nunca creí que el amor era agua con sal.
La inocencia que tiene este tema, ¿viste?
It is, again, kind of upbeat music, but he's talking about a woman crying for him. And the story I wanted to tell you was, so my grandparents had a very volatile relationship, and my grandmother would sing these ballads or boleros at the top of her lungs, and she had a really beautiful voice, and it was interesting to hear someone sing it who's going through it. Whenever I hear romantic ballads or boleros, I get an insatiable desire to eat my grandmother's cooking. And I can just smell the salsa de tomate, the tomato sauce brewing, and the onions being chopped. And because that's when she would sing. She would be in the kitchen, and she would be, you know, chopping that onion with a vengeance, probably imagining it was my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And singing these boleros and these ballads with this passion. And I thought it was the cheesiest, most annoying thing ever, especially when I was in high school and, you know, the kid who gets teased for listening to cumbia, you know, then I bring someone home and my grandmother is yelping these boleros. But now, man, I really appreciate it now.
That's a wonderful story. The song that we played, Agua González, from José José's debut album from 1969, and it is actually a very sophisticated recording. And around that time, many of those records are just really artistic, even though it's sentimental music, even though it's silly love songs, like Paul McCartney would say. They are done, you know, the artistry is amazing. And for the longest time, I couldn't understand exactly why, how did they achieve that sophistication. Finally, one day I get to interview José José, and I ask him, I told him, you know, I love all of your records, but I'm obsessed with your first album, 1969, Cuidado. It's so incredibly sophisticated. It's unbelievable what happened there. And he said, it's very simple. When I recorded that first album, all the arrangers that I employed were obsessed with jazz. They came of age with jazz music, so they infused all those love ballads with the aesthetics of jazz, and that's why it's so sophisticated.
It's sophisticated, and at the same time, for Latin listeners, it's incredibly personal. Like I said, I hear this song and I can hear my grandmother's nylon clothing rubbing against it each other because she's dancing, and her vinyl platform shoes moving back and forth.
Wonderful.
So I wanted to wrap up today's show with a little bit of doo-wop. Ernesto, can you guess who this is?
One summer night, we fell in love. One summer night, I held you tight, you and I, under the moon of love. One summer night, I kissed your lips. One summer night, I held you close, you and I, under the moon of love.
I couldn't recognize the tune, but I'm very happy that your listeners this week get exposed to the sentimental side of Jasmine Garst. I think that's wonderful.
Please, I'm a rock. This is the Dan Lears, and it's the song One Summer Night. And I brought this because there's another artist that we've spoken about a lot called Carla Morrison. She's from Tecate, Mexico. And one of my favorite songs by her is in that same kind of like finger snapping doo-wop style. You know, dun, 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 dun.
Yo tengo una ilusión dentro, en mi corazón seco, que humedece de ti. Yo pienso que tu luz es mi ejemplo, que que eres bello por dentro. Ay, me derrito por ti. Y no quiero aceptar y lo voy a negar, pero es tan grande que me voy a explotar de ti. Estás clavado en mí. Y no te voy a querer y me echaré a correr negando todo el sentimiento que me delate ante ti, aunque siento que voy a morir.
Carla Morrison just has a stunning voice. It's so sweet. And she doesn't usually do doo-wop, right? But this song is very much modeled in that almost a cappella, vocally very heavy R&B from the 50s and 60s style doo-wop.
Yes, absolutely. I think Carla Morrison understands the beauty of retro. Pretty much anything she does is elegant.
She's really an artist that I feel needs to get a lot more attention than what she's gotten in the past. I mean, she's definitely a hit in the underground kind of indie, Latin indie circle, but I just want her to be pushed forward because she's just an amazing artist.
Pero me cuesta escuchar. Yo miro y me invaden suspiros que tienen ya tu nombre tatuado sin fin.
That's our show for today. We did something different, and I hope our listeners liked it. And listeners, tell us what genre that's not Latin rock and alternative can you just not live without? I want to thank Ernesto so much for joining us. Ernesto, it's always so much fun when you stop by.
Thank you so much. This was really fantastic for me to... I just had so much fun playing such an eclectic collection of songs.
Ernesto, thank you so much, and please... stop by and visit us again.
Yes.
Great. Remember, you can listen to every single song that we played on today's show on our website. That's npr.org/altlatino. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Jasmine Garz. Felix Contreras will be back with us next week. This has been Alt Latino.
Buscando una salida y yo. Estoy tan perdida buscando una salida.